Would you stand together with us today, please? Bow together with me for a moment of prayer. God, our Father, it is a blessed privilege that you give us today to come together in this place to remember a life that has made a big impact in our community and in our personal lives. As we talk about Frieda's life today, Father, I pray that the joy of her life, that the reason for her life will be made clear, that we will see that you used her in a very special and a very real way for us, and we are grateful for it. We pray that you will speak to us through the presence of your Holy Spirit. Touch our hearts, our minds, and help us, Father, to hear what it is that we need to hear today, so that as we leave this place, that we will leave not downtrodden or brokenhearted, but that we will leave with a resolve, with a desire, Father, just to make a difference in the world that we live in, just like she did. Our world truly was a better place because of her life. We pray that you will just be in charge of all that we say and do this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Michael?
Today is the day that I have been dreading for a while now. I'm going to do my best to keep this uplifting, positive, funny, much like Grandma Frieda was. A couple years ago when we lost Grandpa Marion, Ashlyn, Leslie, and I were sitting in the living room and talking with Grandma. We were watching the news, and there was a special about this oldest living person in Oklahoma. And this person was over 100. I can't really remember the exact age. And Grandma had said, "Good Lord, I do not want to be that old. I'm already old." And we all laugh, and I say, "We all know you're going to outlive us all. You're too stubborn to let anything as simple as breathing get in your way." And at that point, we're all still laughing. She goes, "No, I'm serious. I've had a long, good life. I've raised my kids. I've seen my grandchildren grow. I have great grandbabies. I was married for over 60 years. Of course, this was nothing that any of us wanted to hear, but thinking about it now, that's almost kind of poetry. To have lived a long, full life, being married for over 60 years, raising four grandchildren, the life she's lived, that's something we could all hope to have. The best way I can describe my grandma, other than sassy with a little bit of spunk, is warm. And no, I'm not talking about how she always kept the house at a brisk 95 degrees in the middle of summer. I'm talking like a very calming hug, something that just fills your soul. I grew up in Kansas, and most years growing up, we'd only come down to Oklahoma a few times a year, but I look forward to every visit, and I always dreaded leaving. Dad talked about leaving during Grandpa's service a couple years ago, how Grandma and Grandpa would have tears in their eyes as we would leave to head home. It wasn't just one-sided, trust me. Their home was always warm and welcoming, inviting, and a loving space felt by all who graced it. Grandma, these last few years, really loved it when people would come and visit, especially recently. She had people coming from all over just to come and see her, and that lit her up. So thank you to everyone who came to see her. Even through her dementia, she might not have remembered your name when looking at you, but she knew a friendly, loving face when she saw it. I do want to mention a couple of visits we did not find enjoyable. According to Grandma, there were two little girls that kept sneaking to her house to pet her cats. Although her cats do love being pet, and Grandma loved that people liked her cats, she didn't appreciate the visits in the middle of the night. To the four FBI agents who came in at night also, all dressed in black, scaring the crap out of her, she really didn't appreciate that. Then there was a bar fight in her bedroom. Boy, she really didn't like that visit. In fact, she didn't like it so much, she said that she called Brother Mike here to come over and break it up. All of us thank you, Brother Mike, for your diligent service in keeping the peace in Davenport. Dennis still has not found these men. This past year or so, Leslie and I stayed with Grandma and helped take care of her, and through this we have some stories that Mom, Jean, and Dennis would like me to share with you all. This last trip, Leslie took Grandma to Shawnee on. Grandma asked her if she knew where she was going. Leslie said, "Yes, Grandma, we're going to Shawnee, going to your doctor." Grandma said, "You've never went this way before. It's the same route Grandma's taken for years. In fact, the same one she showed Leslie how to take." And she said, "Well, Grandma, enjoy the new route then." Grandma whipped over her head and said, "Quit being a smart butt." Leslie said, "Well, I get it from you." And Grandma said, "Well, you're doing a great job." Grandma and I were poking jabs at each other one evening, much like we like to do in our free time. And I told her that I wasn't going to go to the store in the middle of the night to get her a Dr. Pepper. She raised her finger at me, shook it vigorously, and said, "I will feed you sweet potatoes." She got a Dr. Pepper that night. Grandma loved cooking. Her heart was always in the kitchen. And here recently, many of us had to pick up the slack. There were a few failures along the way. The first failure, Never use cornstarch to thicken your sausage gravy. Grandma couldn't forget what day it was. She could forget if she even had breakfast that morning. But I tell you, she did not forget when Mom tried to ruin breakfast with cornstarch. The second failure was when we tried to cook any sweets. Leslie had said she was going to make Grandma's famous peanut brittle. And Grandma asked her, "Do you really think you can handle that?" Leslie says, "Yes, I have your recipe." And Grandma says, without skipping a beat, "It won't be fit to eat because I didn't make it." Another funny saying that came about in a random conversation with Grandma was when we were watching TV and someone had smacked their husband's booty. And Grandma had said, "Well, I guess when someone touches your soul, you let them touch your butt." And no wiser words were said that day. Grandma wasn't just grandma to us. She was practically everyone's grandma. I remember a neighbor kid had come over with either Colin or Drew and was introduced to Grandma. And the kid had asked, "You're so cool. Can you be my grandma too?" And Grandma, without hesitating, she said, "Yes, I'm already everyone else's grandma." Grandma embodied love, whether it be filling your plate or filling your soul with her hugs, and that's who she was, the picture-perfect definition of hospitality. Unless you stayed too long, then you had to go. She often told me, "Come back when you can stay longer, but not too long. I need my space." I know I'm rambling on, but I have some points to make. When going through life, cherish the ones around you. It makes days like this a little less miserable. I had the pleasure, not exactly an accurate word to describe it, I'd say it was an honor to care for Grandma this last year. It was hard, but I'd do it all over again. I got so much closer to her these last couple of years after moving down to Oklahoma, and I have no regrets. I was able to learn more about her and Grandpa. I was able to share more laughter and love than I had in years, and I feel like it was healing for the both of us. I had promised Grandpa I would help take care of Grandma before he had passed, and I wanted to keep that promise. I wanted to close with this. Thank you all for loving my grandma. I've read and heard so many stories and things from people about how much of an impression she made in their lives, to read how she was to so many people, like their bonus mom, their grandma, sister, friend, neighbor, arch rival in the annual Christmas yard decorating competition. It's been uplifting. As per Grandma and Grandpa's wishes for their service, they wanted this embarrassing tape of me singing "Go Rest High on That Mountain" in House of Gold. Needless to say, I begged my mom and uncles to spare my embarrassment of hearing 14-year-old me singing these songs on recording. I was going to sing one of them. However, as Brother Mike aptly put it, technology is a wonderful thing except when it doesn't work. So we're going to play House of Gold like that. And thank you guys.
I'd rather be
Freda Mae Collins Bales was born on the 27th of June, 1939, in Ward, Arkansas, to A.B. and Mary Collins. She passed away the morning of April the 14th at her home, surrounded by family at the age of 84. She was preceded in death by her parents, A.B. and Mary Tucker Collins, her husband, Marion Calvin Bales, a son, Calvin Bales Jr., sisters, Fern Williams, Dee Soderstrom, Pat Brewer, and brothers Ronnie Collins and John Collins. Survivors include her brother Tom Collins of Arkansas, children Jean and Christy Bales of Davenport, Dennis Sherry Wunderlich of Davenport, Tamala and Keith Wunderlich of Cambridge, Texas, Kansas, 10 grandchildren, Kyle Bales and his wife Chelsea, Michael Wunderlich, Gunnar Wunderlich and wife Amber, Marissa Bowman, Leslie Bales, Cody Bales, Chance Cross, Ashlyn Carter and her husband Brian, Wyatt Cross, Colin Bales. He had 4 great-grandchildren, Drew Barron, Nicholas Wunderlich, Vivian Wunderlich, Bedelia Wunderlich, along with other nieces, nephews, and friends that she loved as her own.
Trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the Savior shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Always hotter than the grease. She used to fry that chicken. Smelled like Marlboro Reds and all the butter from her biscuits. And that Lincoln in the driveway, circa 19.
Frieda was one of those special people that some of us are very fortunate to who have been a part of her life. We are blessed beyond measure. We don't understand how much yet. Maybe not even in this life will we ever get a grasp of how much our lives were blessed by being a part of her life. I liked being a part of their family. Enjoyed being a part of their family because it reminded me a lot of my family, my upbringing, my wife's family, associating with them same way, and then our family, we've tried to keep that going on, where the families were all together all the time and just actually liked each other. And that's not very much common in the world today anymore. For one thing, families are scattered from here to the far ends of the earth and don't get to see each other very often. And then when they do get together, they always have something they want to fuss about. Well, you better not fuss at Frieda's. She'd straighten you out real quick. She'd get that taken care of. Families were meant to be together and meant to enjoy and have a good time when you got together. So I enjoyed being a part of her family. Also liked her straightforward manner. You know, she called me one time. Her and Marion always put in a big garden every year and had a bunch of okra planted up there to the up on the hill by their house. And they had picked okra till I'm sure everybody was tired of picking okra. And she called me one day. She said, "Brother Mike," she said, "would you like some okra?" I said, "Well, absolutely, Frieda. I'd love to have some okra." She said, "Well, you're going to have to come pick it yourself. You're well able, you know." Yeah, she's right. She's right. So I went and picked it myself. And that was okay. I like that. I want to talk today about Frieda's life. And I want to get you in your mind's eye to just picture the kind of life that she had. Because Frieda Bales lived an abundant life. An abundant life. John 10:10, Jesus made the promise and that he told his disciples, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Abundantly. Now, people have a misconception about what it means to have an abundant life. They think abundance has to do with stuff. The things you put in a safe with a lock and key, things that you put bars over your window, things that you go to expensive details to try to protect and keep somebody else from getting. A person's life consists of more than the things which they possess. Frieda had an abundant life because of this. Number one, she trusted Jesus. I shared with the family earlier. Without a question in my mind and heart today, I know that absent from the body, Frieda Bales is present with the Lord. And she's there not because she earned it or deserved it. She's there because she claimed it. She believed in her heart that Jesus was the Christ. She trusted that he would forgive her of her sins. She trusted that he was going to take care of her forever. She did that. "I know whom I have believed." 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 12 says, "I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded, no matter what comes, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Whatever comes. Because I'm telling you, in 84 years of living life, living with Marion, raising four kids, and all you knuckleheads on the outside wall, I know you. She put up with you all that time, didn't she? Yeah, life wasn't always easy for her, I promise you. There were times that I'm sure she needed a big stick. Okay? That didn't matter. Didn't matter. It was life. It was life. Why? Because God was going to take care of it. She committed her life to Jesus Christ. because of it, that come what may. That come what may. Circumstance wasn't going to control her life. It wasn't going to determine who or what she was. She was going to enjoy life. She trusted Jesus. She loved her family. You notice the pictures. She loved her family. My goodness gracious. She loved those who were blood family. She loved those who were adopted family. That included me. People that she took in, that she wanted to be a part of her life. She loved her family. She'd do whatever it took. Whether that was the good things, teaching Tamla how to cook, the real challenges. Whether that was growing up with an ornery brother, Tom, an ornery brother. Whatever, didn't matter. Circumstance was not going to control her. Wasn't going to control her. She was going to enjoy life. She was going to love her family. And she did. And sometimes that love was a tough love. Because I'm sure, as you set out here today, kids, us extended family, there were times she had to get straight with you, didn't she? She had to kind of explain to you how things were supposed to be. And the honest to goodness truth was, you couldn't get nothing by her. She had eyes in the back of her head, didn't she, Dennis? Yeah. She knew what you were doing. Even though you thought you got by with it, Freda knew. And she'd call you on it. She'd call you on it. Why? Because she's mean? No, she wasn't mean. She wanted better. She wanted better. There were things that she thought were important, and she shared those with her family. That's love. That's love. And you always knew it was there. Never a doubt, never a question, never an uncertainty. Even when you'd done something really stupid, it didn't matter. Freda loved you. She loved you. Proverbs 31, 27th verse said, This woman looked well to the ways of her household. Her children call her blessed. Her husband praises her in the gates. This was the kind of family that she made a part of her life. It was important. And I'm telling you, listen to me. In our culture today, our world is poorer today because Freda Bales has been called to be with Jesus. Why? Because she understood what family was. It was an emphasis. She may not say it out loud, but you saw it lived out loud. She loved her family. The institution of family is God's institution to keep things in order in our culture, in our world today. When the family wins, the world wins. When the family loses, the world loses. And we see evidence of that today. Freda showed us how. She loved her family. Something that drastically, a problem in our world today. Everybody wants more stuff. Everybody wants to have more and bigger, better, right? Freda was content with what she had. She's content. I mean, roof over her head, food on the table, clothes on her back, surrounded with friends and family who cared about her, loved her, that she could be a part of their life. She was content. Hebrews 13:5, having bread and raiment, clothes on your back, food on the table. Be content with what you got. We don't know how to do that anymore. We don't know how to do that. When you go out and get in your car, before you get ready to leave, I saw you drive up, okay? When you go get in your car, you tell me of all of those buttons and switches and knobs and whatever that you absolutely have to have to drive your car. Tell me, how many of them do you absolutely have to drive your car? To get you from point A to point B. Well, why do you have all those other things then? We want more stuff. We want more stuff. Can't even buy a car anymore. They didn't have it. We're not content. We got to have bigger, better. Technology, Michael. It'll drive us nuts, won't it? And yet we'll spend $1,000 or more on a telephone, a cell phone, a little pocket, whatever, just because it's there. Rita didn't have to have that stuff. She was content with what she had. Life was good for her. If you didn't think so, just ask her. Life was good for her. Spent all day long canning beans. Went by one afternoon. She'd been all day long canning beans. I don't know, probably at the time she was in her mid-70s. Canning beans is not an easy job. If you've canned beans, raise your hands. It's real simple and easy, isn't it? Doesn't take any effort or work whatsoever, right? Not. It'll wear you smooth out. And you know what her response was? What have you been doing all day, Frida? I got to put up green beans. She was excited about it. Food on the table. She's content. She is happy. She appreciated and enjoyed what she had. You see, it's not just to have it. It's to understand why you have it. And the reason for it and the goodness of it. Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, verse 24. There is nothing better than that a man should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. Look behind you at the end of the day and go, job well done. I did good, didn't I? She appreciated and enjoyed it. And you know the best way that she told me that happened in her life? Because she was willing to share it with me and you. She wanted me to benefit from her labor, from her hard work. She made sure. She took care of me. I saw. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. You see, that's what she figured out. It wasn't her hard work. It wasn't her skill or her knowledge or her ability. These were gifts from God. She was insanely proud of her kids. I've known her kids for 50 years. And sometimes I went, Frida, we need to talk. No, that's not true. That's not true. I take that back. She was insanely proud of her grandkids. I know you. I've been a part of your life. And still, she was insanely proud of you. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It encouraged me. Be that kind of parent. Be that kind of grandparent. She loved our town. She loved our community. She just loved life. And it was special. And why? Because she realized these were all gifts from God. Who was she to gripe or complain about it? Enjoy them. Enjoy them. I said earlier, she'll be missed. She'll be missed, greatly missed. Her seat's empty. She's occupying another seat in the presence of God. She'll be missed because what she offered to me, you, nobody else can replace. Listen, nobody else can do it like Frida did it. She was special. But I can have learned something. We should have learned something in the time that God gave us with her. What are you going to do with what you should have been learning? You going to keep it up here, or are you going to take it out there? See, that's what set her apart. What she had here and had here, she shared out there. That's what made her good. That made her life so good. What made her life so special. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. This is the benediction of Frida's life. And that's what it says. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Frieda has claimed what God prepared for her. Well done. Well done. I believe those were the words that she heard. Good job, Frieda. You did good. Now, we all experience life and the things, the people, the events, the circumstances that come our way. We all get to get a part of that experience. What sets some apart from others, like Frieda, that made her different, made her who she was? What sets her apart? The things we've talked about today. What will you do? What will I do with life lessons that she shared with us? That's up to us. Pray with me. Father, today, we thank you for giving us the joy and the privilege to share in such a special life. Father, we are grateful for the confidence that we have of knowing that because you are faithful, she is in your presence, just like you promised. I pray today, Father, for her family, for friends. We've had a great privilege and a great opportunity, Father, to have learned life lessons from somebody who got it right. Now help us to continue to take those things that we've learned and seen and continue them in our lives and for the lives of people around us. Thank you again, Father, for knowing that because she trusted Jesus, her life was set apart and made special. Thank you again that your word, your promise is always true. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We thank you and appreciate you coming to share with Frieda's family. Take some time now after we're dismissed just to talk about good times, relive good memories. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.